Discovering Millions of Paths, Recovery Month episode. Every September, we recognize National Recovery Month, and that means recognizing recovery in all of its forms possible. We have heard more people talk about many paths, several ways, and recognizing how people celebrate their own recovery. While this progress represents any positive change, it's important we continue to look at recognizing each individual and how they represent their journey in recovery. No other area asks someone to define their recovery or looks at defining recovery for them. Instead of looking at many or several paths in recovery, it's time for us to continue to discover millions of paths and how we bring our services, resources, tools, and support to individuals in their journey to recover.
This is Talking Addiction and Recovery, the podcast talking, you guessed it, all about addiction and recovery. Join your host, licensed professional counselor Andrew J. Schreier, as he and his guests break down recovery topics with raw honesty, delving into niche conversations around the topics of substance abuse, mental health, and gambling. We intend to meet individuals where they are on their own personal journey of recovery with dignity, respect, and compassion. We'll do more than talk addiction and recovery. We'll explore it. We're glad you've joined us. Here with today's episode, your host, Andrew Schreier.
We are midway through September and it is Recovery Month. We haven't dropped an episode in a while, and Recovery Month is always a great reminder of always making sure to keep this going and to have a new episode released every Recovery Month when this comes around. And for those who are unaware, National Recovery Month, which started back in 1989, is a national observance held every September to promote and support new evidence-based treatment and recovery practices. It is the nation's strong and proud recovery community and the dedication of service providers in communities who make recovery in all of its forms possible. So, really big month. There's a lot of events happening in the communities and, you know, online. There's a lot of stuff happening in, you know, all the clinics that I work at to recognize, you know, how important this month is for the people that we work for, that we serve, and, you know, this work that we do together. And it's good for me because, you know, it's been a little bit since dropping a new episode, and I was thinking, you know, Recovery Month is one that I, you know, not have a new episode released or spend some time talking about an important part of all this work that is done. So the other day I was in a event about asking people about their recovery, and part of the question was, you know, how do you define your recovery? And, you know, great question to ask. You know, the purpose and messages, you know, it's not the same for everyone. You know, there's several ways people do recover. You know, it's important to provide person-centered care and, you know, really meeting people where they're at, and instead of, you know, leaving them if they're not where we want them to be or where we think they should be, but, you know, sitting with them and seeing what they want and how they define their recovery. And there were some really great things that were said, and it's really insightful because no one answers it the same way. You know, even if people have some similarities, even if people have things that you could say, oh yeah, I heard this from this person, that person, you know, that was quite similar, but it's always different when you ask someone, you know, how they define their recovery and what it means for them. And we've heard this more often and more lately, which I'm really happy to hear about, where even in the definition, not definition, but a little summary for National Recovery Month, you know, it's talking about make recovery in all of its forms possible. I just got an email today, actually, that was saying, you know, celebrating, you know, the many ways people recover. And we've been hearing this a lot more. You know, I know when I started in this profession, it was usually, this is the one way, you know, a program or certain people or groups would have this one way of doing this. You follow it this exact way and you are going to be successful in your recovery. And now, instead of thinking of it as a one size fits all or everyone needs to recover the same way, our tunnel vision's expanding. we're starting to see more paths, see more doors, see more options, and really accepting where people are looking for their path to recovery. And I think when you speak about what has worked for you and what you have seen work for others, you know, you can do that, and we want to hear people's stories without, you know, diminishing or dismissing or kind of like dimming the light on other paths in recovery. You know, you can share about what worked for you. You can share about how this is what has gotten you to where you are. But I still, you know, hear some people who are, you know, oh yeah, this is one path or this is a different path, but I'm going to tell you why I don't like that path. And I don't think you have to necessarily say why you don't like a certain path to, you know, share why what you did worked for you. So I think we can do both. It reminds me of a time of supervision where I was working with a gentleman, and he did my gambling certification supervision. And I remember this when I first met him and started working with him, was one of the things he would say to me and let me know was that he never prescribed to any one way. And he shared about his background and how he didn't have lived experience. So he always would use that phrase that, like, he didn't prescribe to a certain way because he didn't go through that himself. He has spent his career helping others in their recovery. And he always would say, you know, one thing is not for everyone, but there is something for every person. And he always talked about how part of our work as counselors and professionals was just helping people to discover their path, you know, discover what is going to work for them. Because us just saying, well, here, this is what it is, follow this way, it might not be what is going to work for them. And also, you know, what is it like to be someone who all of a sudden is like, well, you go and do this. And, you know, as humans, we don't really like that. So it was always enjoyable to talk with him because I never got it stuck in my mind that whenever I would present cases and talk about certain people I was working with that, you know, I wasn't holding this. They need to have this recovery, or they need to follow this specific way. And if not, you know, then they're not working their recovery, or they're not trying. And that I never got stuck in that. And that was, I was really grateful for that supervision expertise that I had for so long. And when I look at it, you know, I hear people talk about certain ways of what recovery is, what it isn't, or what works, what doesn't, you know. So when I sometimes hear people say, like, they're not a fan of support groups, or they're not a fan of medications for treatment, or they're not a fan of church or something, you know, my response is that, you know, it may not be for everyone, but that does not mean it isn't for anyone. So, like, it might not be the thing that is for every single person, but that doesn't mean that this is not something that is going to work for that one person. And I've been doing this for a long time. You know, I've been introduced and shown a lot of ways for people to recover, you know, from the individual sitting in my room doing counseling to family members and loved ones, you know, people that I've worked with, colleagues over the years, other professionals, you know, for doing counseling for over 20 plus years, you know, I've come across a lot of ways people have talked about recovery. And I think for so long, you know, a certain place had their way of looking at recovery. You know, a certain program looked at how they define recovery for all. And, you know, I listen to you know, I read books, I listen to stories, if people come on, you know, this podcast and talk about things that have been about their own journey. And I believe when it comes to treating substance use, you know, we discover the science so we can be led by evidence, you know, science over stigma. You know, I believe we sometimes confuse treatment and someone's recovery. You know, I'm providing treatment or I'm providing counseling. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm providing them with their path, or what I'm telling them is what they need to do to recover in their life. And that I think that happens quite a bit where they're used, you know, too similarly without separating, like, treatment serves this person, recovery, you know, has this purpose in someone's life. But recovery, to me, you know, you look at, like, this is someone's life. You know, this is their journey. You know, treatment can be episodic. It may come and go. You know, treatment can go through periods where it is really present in someone's life and then it is completely absent. It can be really heavy at moments, then it can be quite less. Someone might come to counseling and see me multiple times a week, and then it might be, you know, every few months. You know, it might be even longer than that. So is treatment and counseling what is looked at as their recovery, or is it things that are to help them in their recovery, to assist them in their journey, but we are not using it to define what their journey is? So, you know, this, that for a while I've been thinking this way because I was super excited to start hearing many paths, because I was never one to look at it as you must do this and this is the way, the only way. You know, I've always looked at it that there's a lot of ways that people, you know, go through this journey in their life, and what are the ways we can help? I think, you know, the more resources, the more services, the more options, the support, you know, then someone is better equipped for their journey, right? So for a while, there were moments where I would have people tell me their story in counseling. You know, they would share about, you know, what brought them there, what's going on. And it was a common thing for someone to begin to share their story. And I don't know if it was something on, like, my end. Like, was I showing disinterest? Was I showing that, like, I've heard this before? Did I make any? Because there's times where someone would stop and be like, oh, I'm sure you've heard this story before. You've done this for a while. You know, people go, you know, you're a counselor. You've heard this plenty of times before. And I'll admit, back in my day, which is probably not too long ago, like, I used to say things like, yeah, I've heard stories like this before, or I've been doing this for a while, and I've heard people share their story about it. So I would say that at times, and it wasn't to dismiss it, or it wasn't to move things along any faster. I think a part of me wanted to make it seem like I could connect with them, like, yes, I understand, or I know. But when you think about it, you know, this is the first time I'm meeting a person. You know, this is the first time I'm actually even getting to know this person's life, their story. I may know a lot about substance use, but, you know, I might know a lot about mental health or gambling, but it doesn't mean I know who this person is because of that. You know, it doesn't mean I know, oh, I know everything about them because they have this diagnosis or they're struggling with this problem. You know, it might mean I know something about the problem, or I have experience with, you know, working with that diagnosis, but there's no way that means I know who they are. So to me, I struggled as I thought more about, you know, many paths in recovery, you know, like looking at, like, this is, there's not only way is how do I get better at recognizing that for the people that I work with, you know, and the people that come in and seek care. And it's also interesting because we don't really, when I worked in substance use for, like, the first, like, 8 or 9 years of my career before I got into mental health. And when I got into mental health, it was so different because, for a lot of reasons, but, and part of it has to do with, you know, the setting where I worked, and, but also I think really sort of the approach is that we don't ask people to describe their recovery when it comes to, like, mental health. You know, I don't ask someone, you know, hey, how do you define your recovery? What does your recovery look like for you? You know, we often talk about, like, you know, their overall well-being, and talking about, you know, their health, you know, happiness, and, you know, we kind of look at more of being able to function in a way that is, you know, the way they would they hope to or want to, but there's never a time where it's, you know, I don't use many paths for talking about someone's mental health. You know, we don't do that for, you know, someone who's got depression or anxiety, and we don't look at there's many paths. You know, I don't ask them to define their recovery. And I've disclosed this in previous episodes, but I have type 1 diabetes, had it for 28 years, and no one's asked me to define my recovery. You know, so even for a physical health issue, we don't go around and say, well, how do you define your recovery? Or there's one path to making recovery work. You know, I'm not talked to about, you know, my seriousness if I wasn't doing something that my doctor recommends. You know, there's treatment, there's medication, there's lifestyle changes, there's support, but that's, I'm never asked to define how that recovery is, or for someone to ask me it and then see if I'm doing what I say that I'm doing. So we treat substance use, and I would say even gambling, differently in by having people define their recovery. And we don't do it for a lot of other issues as well. And I was asking some colleagues of mine, like, why do we ask, you know, people with substance use or gambling to define their recovery? And someone said it's because we don't really understand substances and behaviors. And I can relate to that, but I also struggle with that. There's a lot of things I think people don't understand about mental health or don't understand about physical health, you know, diagnosis and conditions. And that hasn't moved us to say, you know, to define it or to have someone describe how they recover. And yes, we are getting better. Like, this is good progress with the many paths in recovery. For me, this was a game changer. You know, something happened where I think we are still missing what's important. And if we can continue moving towards there, I think this is only going to be for the better of the people that seek our care and who we are there to support and help. So I was at a state park, Devil's Lake State Park here in Wisconsin. It is one of my favorite places to be. And it's a state park, pretty popular, Monday through Friday, a little bit less, but, you know, summertime, fall time, weekends. And it's like an hour and 40 minute drive for me. And I like getting up there super early when I am like one of a handful of cars in the giant parking lot. And I like to do my trail running there. So I might be gone for a couple hours and I come back and parking lot's full, beach areas is people all around having a good time. But I like going up early when it's quiet. There's not as many people. And one morning I was like the third car there. So this is like perfect for me. Like, I'm not trying to dodge people running up the bluffs and anything like that. So I was running, enjoying my time, and I got to this bluff part, which is a great place to just hang out for a second, have something to eat, drink some water. And another guy came by and, you know, had the same idea and, you know, started with the small talk, like, hey, how's it going? What a great day. Yeah, isn't it great to be here where no one else is? Absolutely. These things can last like seconds, minutes, and usually then we just both go on our way. And, you know, he asked me, you know, he was curious because he was an older gentleman. He was curious what I was doing because it was like a weekday. And I think he thought I'd be at work. And so I just, you know, I told him I had off, and, you know, he asked about what I did, and I told him I was a counselor. And, you know, he started talking about his life, and he was sharing about, you know, he was in recovery. So not planned, right? I mean, this is 2-3 people in this whole park that I can tell, and we just happen to be in this spot. And I don't go into counselor mode or anything like that. But he's telling me his story, and maybe since I was trying to get going, I'm checking my Garmin because I'm trying to get my miles in. And he did say something about oh, you've probably heard this before. You're a counselor. I don't know what you do for counseling, but you've probably heard people share this. And normally I would say, I've heard this before. And I could have said something like, yeah, substance use is, where I've started my career. But, I was thinking about it at the moment where this is a guy who I probably never going to see again. Probably, I'm not looking for this person to be a client. I am just a person connecting with another person. And so instead of saying that, what I told him, and this is the first time I said this to anyone at the time, was, I've never heard your story before. And that was a real profound moment for me to realize that when I'm meeting with someone or talking with someone for the first time or the first couple of times, that no matter what my entire experience has given me, no matter what all the other people I've seen beforehand, when I'm first meeting someone and they're sharing things with me, when I'm meeting with them the second time, they're sharing things with me, that, their story is one that I have never heard of, and their story is what matters when it comes to their recovery. So to me, part of this highlights what I see as a counselor is that I for sure don't see one path, but I also really don't see many paths, because I don't believe that the paths of recovery are ours to own or define or to create. I look at it as every person that comes and seeks care, every person that is dealing with this issue, every person that I see in counseling, like, their life is their recovery journey. So for me, like, this is where I love what I do, because now I get to not look at many forms or many paths, as I get to discover, the millions of paths of recovery. All the people that are impacted by it, living with it, this is their journey, is their recovery. And for me, this is what helps me to work with other individuals, because it's not about trying to get them onto my path. Because it's not trying about getting them to follow my path or to follow me down a path. It's not about pointing them into the direction that I think they should go or I want them to go. And if they don't go, then I get frustrated or annoyed, or I get, I hear that a lot when we as the professionals are working with people. So for me, it was always about joining people alongside their path. I mean, they're going to be living their journey way before they come to us. Usually it's going to be after they, our time with people can be so short. And sometimes it can be a lot longer than other people get to have. But, it's not that their recovery just stops and ends when they're with us, or because it stops or ends because they were doing this. Now they're no longer, like, their journey in recovery continues. They are recovering every day. They are living that life every day. And for me, it's more about, how do I meet them on their journey? I think that's how people, we protect people from falling in the gaps. It's not about them going from one path to another path, jumping to ours because this is what we do. They leave ours, they go to another one because that's what someone else does. Like, it is our role to meet them on their journey. And while we're with them, supply them with whatever we can. Support them in whatever way that we can. Provide them with resources. And, our services are there to help them in their journey, not to try and get them to come along on our path. So I think the way we get better, with substance use and with gambling and with other areas, is by recognizing that their path is their recovery. And sometimes we don't have to define it, and we can ask them about it, and however they answer, that is how they are looking at their journey and their recovery, and what can we do with them. never discouraging that they say it could be something that you've maybe not even heard of, or something that you're uncertain about. Maybe it didn't work for you, doesn't mean it won't work for them. So I think it's really important that when we look at a month like this, we continue to embrace the many paths, which is actually millions of paths, because that's how many people are out there who are impacted, who need help, support, resources. And for us, it's such a great thing because we get to discover and meet these new people, help people out, be there for them, recognize the progress they've made, the positive change. These are things that we get to do for them while they continue on their journey. It doesn't start and end with us. We are fortunate when we get to meet alongside them. We are fortunate when they welcome us into their journey, when they allow us to be a part of, you know, their traveling companions. And when we're with them, we do our best to cause no harm. That maybe when we leave their path and we go someone else's, or we are no longer with them, at least like we did no harm, but they're better equipped to continue on their journey, because their journey will be the rest of their life. So next time you talk with someone and they share their story, you know, next time someone talks about their recovery, you know, look at it as this is their path, this is their journey. What can I do to help them along the way? How can we be better for them as they travel along this? That's the best thing that we can do for people. So let's celebrate Recovery Month by recognizing not just many paths, not just with multiple forms, not just several ways, but taking all of those things and how can we help that person in their path and their journey. As always, thanks for listening. Hope you learned something.
You've been listening to Talking Addiction and Recovery with Andrew J. Schreier. We're so glad you've joined us and invite you to connect further with the show and these topics at www.andrewjschreier.com. That's Andrew J. S-C-H-R-E-I-E-R.com. You can also email us directly at talkingaddictionandrecovery@gmail.com and connect on social media, Instagram at Talking Addiction and Recovery, Facebook Talking Addiction and Recovery Podcast, and Twitter at @talkar_podcast. To stay connected and never miss an episode, be sure to like, rate, and subscribe. Until next time, friends, let's keep talking addiction and recovery.